Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task.
Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty. And so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
We shall not fail or falter. We shall not weaken or tire. Neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools and we will finish the job. We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
You've tried to change my life. No one ever asked me if I thought that this was right. It's time for us to tell you that we will go through hell to defend our country and to help the ADL. I'm proud to be an Englishman. England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. God save England and the UK. You have lied to all the people and tried to take away their rights. We won't let you sell this land, not without a fight. It's time for us to tell you that you can go to hell. It's time for us to stand and fight and join the ADL. I'm proud to be an Englishman and I'm going to be free. I won't forget the men who died. Give that right to me, and we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. God save England and the UK. I'm proud to be an Englishman, and I'm going to be free. I won't forget.
Certainly do love this land. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the English Defence League radio show, broadcasting live on blogtalkradio.com. The English Defence League radio show, the truth, the voice, and the spirit of the EDL. Before I start, I'd like to thank Dave for a great slide, a great script for this evening, and all the great works that he does in between what we do. Bring this show to you. So let me continue. English Defence League radio show, The March of Crimes. And let me start by saying welcome to the English Defence League radio show. with your host, Jeff Danger Man Mitchell, and my wingman is Dangerous Dave Milner. March is here, and it's crime time for the globalist elites, Islamic death cultists, and their brainwashed allies. And it seems like Charlie's got the spirit of it all. We will connect the evil acts with their sources and reveal all to you, our great listeners. No surrender ever. All that is necessary for evil to prevail is that good men do nothing. Of course, that was by the late, great Edmund Burke back in the 1770s. Those who make peaceful revolution possible will make violent revolution inevitable. President John F. Kennedy. No hostages, no peace. Dave Milner, the unpleasant blind guy, 2023. With that, so without further ado, let me bring on my friend, my colleague, my brother from across the pond in the great Vermont tonight, and of course wishing you all well in the United States, of course, also across the globe. Thank you for listening tonight. So to be fair, let me pass it to you, Dave. Catch them off, lobbing it, mate. It's going to come from a distance. A catch. Ready, mate? Here you go. See you.
Got it, Jeff, and good evening to you, and good evening to Charlie, our executive producer. Yes. Welcome to everyone. We've got quite a big show for you here tonight, and it starts out the big month of March, and of course that's going to be going into April, especially since Ramadan, or as we like to call it here, Ramalama Ding Dong, begins on the 11th of this month, and it won't be done until the 10th of April. So stay tuned, because obviously we're going to have some stuff pretty evil from the cult of death, which is Islam. Now, to do a few housekeeping things, Jeff has a chat room in here in this show, and you can get to that by going to the blogtalkradio.com and looking for the White Top Center search box. Type in EDL Radio or English Defense League Radio Show and follow the links. And if you are registered with Blog Talk Radio, you too can get into the chat and have a talk with Jeff. We podcast here live every Sunday at 8:30 p.m. in the UK. And that's usually 3:30 p.m. Eastern here in the United States. But watch out for that, my American brothers and sisters, because we change over to stupid and useless daylight saving time on the 10th of this month, which is next Sunday. So the program will be on at a different time. Check the show page to find out what time that will be. All right. Now, we also are broadcast when we do our own Jeff's podcast here at the TECN.TV radio page. If you want the best in urban Christian conservative news, talk, and entertainment, go to TECN.TV, and you'll find a lot on that site. There are some great hosts there on that network. Also, watch out for BZ's Berserk Bobcat Saloon, which should be starting up pretty soon on Thursdays at 11 p.m. Eastern in the United States. And that's for you early risers in the UK. That'll be at 4 a.m. on Friday. And that goes through SHR Media and my own show, The Unpleasant Blind Guy, also runs through SHR Media and TECN.TV as well. Now, those show times for my programs are 1 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday in the United States, and that is 6 p.m. Monday through Friday in the UK. Your new shows come out on Saturday at midnight Eastern in the United States, and that is 5 a.m. in the UK. And after all of that, Jeff, do we have anybody in that chat room of yours, my brother?
No, I'm looking in there. I'm looking around to see if anybody's hiding in the corners. No, there's no one here at the moment, though. Can you hear the echo, echo, echo? Because there's no one here, Back to you, Dave.
All right. Well, just so you know, people, we got snacks and non-alcoholic drinks in there. And we had some beer and wine and spirits in there at one time, but it just got too rowdy, and it was terrible for Jeff to have to clean it up. That's part of the reason you brought me in.
Dave, let me you know, we've lost our Jack Daniels. Where are we? It's been got at. There you go. It's gone, mate. It's gone.
Well, yeah. Well, that could be my fault. But anyway, never mind about that now. all right, guys. Yeah, we're in the month of March, and there's a lot of stuff going on. I mean, it almost seems like the year has started all over again because we've got all kinds of news events happening and everything. And of course, some news about the weather, and, with all the global warming hysteria and everything going on. And a lot of times during March, this is when these global warming idiots jump up and down and say, see, we told you the weather is chaotic and everything. But, people, weather is chaotic in March, all over. And we have a good example of that from some good friends that gave a nice treatise on this in the 1970s. This is going to last just over 2 minutes. So check this out. You're listening to the English Defense League Radio. So this is important meteorological information here.
Last week we made the comment that March comes in like a lion and goes out like a lamb. Now here to reply is our chief meteorologist, John Belushi, with a seasonal report.
Thank you, Jimmy. Well, another winter is almost over, and March, true to form, has come in like a lion, and hopefully we'll go out like a lamb. At least that's how March works here in the United States. But did you know that March behaves differently in other countries? Norway, for example, March comes in like a polar bear and goes out like a walrus. Or take the case of Honduras, where March comes in like a lamb and goes out like a salt marsh harvest mouse. Let us compare this to the Maldive Islands, where March comes in like a wildebeest and goes out like an ant. A tiny little ant, about this big. Oh, unlike the Malay Peninsula, where March comes in like a worm-eating fern bird and goes out like a worm-eating fern bird. In fact, their whole year is like a worm-eating fern bird. Or consider the Republic of South Africa, where March comes in like a lion and goes out like a different lion. Like one has a mane and one doesn't have a mane. Or in certain parts of South America, where March swims in like a sea otter, then it slithers out like a giant anaconda. There you can buy land real cheap, And there's a country where March hops in like a kangaroo and stays a kangaroo for a while, and then it becomes a slightly smaller kangaroo. Then for a couple days, it's sort of a cross between a frilled lizard and a common house cat. Wait. Then it changes back into a smaller kangaroo, and then it goes out like a wild dingo. Now, it's not Australia. Now, you'd think it would be Australia, but it's not. I'm wrong, pal! I know a country where March comes in like an emu and goes out like a tapir, and they don't even know what it means. All right? Now, there are 9 different countries where March comes in like a frog and goes out like a golden retriever. But that's not the weird part. No, the weird part is it's a frog. The frog part is... The weird part is...
God, this is a global warning thing. Gets you every time. Welcome back to the English Defense League Radio Show with host Jeff Danger Man Mitchell. Jeff.
I never, ever get tired of hearing that. That is hilarious. Did they drag him off the stage? Isn't that what happened, Damien? They dragged him off the stage.
Well, he had a bit of a, let's just call it a seizure and leave it at that. Yeah, that particular part of the SNL crew, you know, he used to be very excitable, and when he gave his reports, he would get rather excited. So yeah, there's that. There it is, guys. Crazy weather in March. It happens every year. Happens every year. Don't get confused by the global warming people or anything like that. It's just March, guys.
Yeah. Let's go, Dave. We've got our very own Bigfoot's joined us. I couldn't quite see him because he's in the studio part of the box there. You know what I mean? So a big thumbs up, Bigfoot. Good to see you this evening, brother. I hope you're well. And so there you go, Dave. And he said, hi, Jeff and Agador. There you go, Dave. Back to you, brother.
All right. Beautiful. Okay. Biggie, welcome. Yeah. Bigfootsplace.blogspot.com is the place where you can read Bigfoot's blog. And it's very good. So you should read it. All right, guys. Now let's get into the more serious bits of the program. Now, guys, on the 28th of last month, and just a few days ago, Keir Starmer, who is the head of the Labour Party in the UK, stood up in Parliament and made a little statement. And after he made a little statement, that was answered by Rishi Sunak. This was during Prime Minister's question time. And I think Jeff's going to have some interesting comments after this one. I know I am, because it annoyed me. Anyway, this is just under 30 seconds. Give us a listen. You're listening to the English Defence League radio show.
She also remained silent as Tommy Robinson, that right-wing thug, was described as a hero. Why is he allowing her to stand as a Tory MP at the next election?
Well, Mr. Speaker, I don't believe a single member of this House supports Tommy Robinson, Mr. Speaker. But...
And there you go, Jeff. Welcome back to the English Defence League Radio Show with your host, Jeff Danger Man Mitchell, and I'm sure that our host has some comments about that. Jeff, go for it.
You got to tell it the way it is. They're scared of Tommy. They know every time he says something, it makes them feel uncomfortable. And as you know, he's probably, in their eyes, the most undesirable person in the country, simply because he knows how to get their backs up. And that's why we love Tommy being around. Just carry on doing what you do, Tommy. And they can know. The thing about it is, you're getting a mention every time, Tommy. They're mentioning you in Parliament. You're a big cheese now, brother. Keep on doing what you're doing, Tom. Bless you, brother. Give that day back to you.
Yeah, thank you there, Jeff. Now, you know what? You bring up a great point. I love that point that you brought up, because I'm going to bring up another point. And that is, okay, you got Keir Starmer and you got Rishi Sunak. Both of these boys, and, you know, I won't call them men. Both of these boys grew up going to public school in the UK. Now, for our American listeners, they call public school over there what we would call private schools. Okay. So both of these public school boys have no more idea of what a thug is than anything. Probably the closest thing they ever came, to real thuggery was the school bully. That's probably the closest thing they ever came to. They have no idea what thuggery is. Let me just ask the audience. And Jeff, you want to chime in too, I'm sure, and Biggie, if you want to as well. Does a thug risk his life and limb and freedom and lose his freedom for the sake of other people who are being raped and harassed and beaten up and horribly mistreated all the time? Does a thug raise money so that he and others can move these people out of danger? Does a thug bring to the world's attention the problem of the mistreatment of children How many thugs do you know that do that? Because I can tell you guys, at 64 years old, I've lived my life and I've been around some bugs and some thugs in my time. Okay? And I can tell you, they don't do that stuff. So not only is Keir Starmer and Rishi Sunak both little, pansy manly fruits, but they have no idea what thuggery is or what it means. And they certainly have no clue of what a hero is. Jeff, do you have any comments before we move on to the next one? Or is there anything out of the chat bot?
Yeah, well, I'd just like to say that the only thing I say about using the word thug is they're all into buggery, aren't they? Let's be honest, the public schools, they're all buggering each other. Yeah, that goes to the Labour and the right politicians. They was all at it. They don't care. They just don't care. But because a man is a man in their world, oh dear, you should show masculinity, the testament masculinity, and stand up for the people. Because you see, people like Tommy are the heroes. These two wankers will be lost in time. Tommy Robinson will go down as a legend of the times, the modern day type of a Robin Hood, in a sense, if you look at that. The thing is, you live in this world and you got those rats out there who will kill you rather than look at you. He's had to stand up and fight in this world. It takes a man, not these little boys who sit in Parliament sucking their thumbs like they do. It takes men to stand up against these people out there. And that's what you got. That's what they don't like. They haven't got the bottle. They're pansy boys, as you said, Dave. I've said enough. I've said my thing. Because we've all stood up and fought against these things. Tommy is still walking the walk. He's doing the talk. And he's doing more than these politicians put together. He's got more integrity in his little finger than a lot of you. You're just a load of mamby-pambies. That's all you are. With that, Dave, I'll have my say. Back to you, brother.
All right. And just so people understand in the UK, Jeff's UK listeners, guys, I'm not bagging on your country or anything like that, because we have the same problem here in the United States in Washington, D.C. You know, you've got the Democrats and you've got what we call the rhinos, Republicans in name only. And they're out once the business of Congress is done every day, they're out going to the same parties. They're dating each other. You know, they're making love to each other. They're marrying each other and all this kind of stuff. A lot of them have gone to the same colleges and universities. And a lot of them have lost, in fact, most of them have lost touch with the people. So never think that I'm looking down my nose at the UK when I bring stuff like this up, because it's just as bad over here in the States. And I'm sure that my American brothers and sisters would agree with me. Jeff, did Biggie or anybody else in chat have anything to say before we move on?
No. Just as I say, Biggie's he's got comments to make. But at the moment, he's just like listening to what we're saying. I did like that wish to start the whole thing off rolling there. And I've got to be careful because I do get quite irate with these politicians. I've got to watch my health these days. I mustn't lose and rant too much because it makes me ill these days. So I've got to be careful, bro. Back to you, bruv.
Well, these people make me ill even when I don't have a rant. Let's hear one. Now, you know, it's interesting that they got up in Parliament and said this garbage, especially given what happened to them a few days before. And we're going to let our friend Bert talk about that right now, guys. This is going to be about 2.25 minutes long. You're listening to the English Defense League radio show.
Right, guys, we're back laughing at the current thing, or should we say the current thing, making political arseholes pucker up like snare drums. This all relates to the laughable crap in Parliament yesterday about voting for a ceasefire in a conflict we got no control over. In fact, it actually makes me sick to see so many scumbags in Parliament about an issue thousands of miles away. But when it's about jab arms or grooming gangs, you can hear a fucking mouse fart in that building. But I guess at least with this, we do have the scumbags who push diversity as our strength, finding out that diversity ain't their strength, and especially not when it's screaming in their face, as reports here suggest. I mean, look at this tweet here from a GB News scumbag talking about an MP running from the imported trash that they helped bring in. It says, an MP texts, some of us are really scared to leave. One of my female colleagues was surrounded by nasty protesters in Westminster Hall earlier and filmed. She was in tears when she came back to the tea room, just saying it is intolerable. Now, naturally, people have jumped on this tweet, ripping apart not only the politicians, but also the media, who smear anyone pointing out that diversity ain't and will never be a bloody strength. This is actually what I love about the internet itself, because no matter what bullshit the parasites that be spew, many people see straight through it and then tear it apart instantly. Here, though, I've literally got zero sympathy for any MP from either side of that shit pit, because at the end of the day, this is what they created so they can fucking enjoy it. Millions of Brits have to deal with this shit constantly, so it's about time they got a taste of their own medicine, don't you think? Obviously, though, at this point, I'm just waiting for the BBC to blame Brexit, the far right, climate change, or Donald Trump for politicians being harassed by the scumbags that they helped import. It is usually how it goes.
Pandemic.
We're off.
Yes, we are. Welcome back to the English Defense League radio show with your host, Jeff Danger Man Mitchell. Jeff, our friend Bert brings it every time, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. He does. We've got to make a bit of allowance for his, because he does swear a bit, Bert, but I think it's all in context with what he's talking about. You know, he's got a way, which we all like. But I'm just a bit of an heads up, especially people listening to children, that the language might be a bit spicy. A bit odd. But this is real people. This isn't what you see on the mainstream media. These are real people telling you the way it is. And I think most of my American friends know that this is the way we talk. I mean, and Dave walks around all the time saying bollocks. Let's have another friend used to say it. But it is who we are. We don't try to pretend anything. But Bert makes some really good points there. And these politicians haven't got a clue. Create the problem and then blame everybody else around you. Typical politicians. But that don't batch you, bro.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, there isn't very much I can add to that, except that, you know, it's just, I think if Vincent Price were alive today, you know, he would look at that and say, this is delicious. You know, just the irony of it, that they brought this in, and it's finally sniffing at their doorstep, and ooh, they don't like it. Yeah. How
you
terrible.
You don't like it.
Exactly, and just as Bert points out, the people of the UK have had to deal with this for a couple of generations now, and it's finally on their doorstep. And it's like, hey guys, it's not like Jeff didn't try to warn you. It's just like I didn't try to warn you. Okay, our entire team, lots of other people, but you didn't listen, and so you get what you get. So what can I say about that? But anyway, Jeff. Before we move into the next one, is there anything out of the chat button?
No, not at the moment, Dave. Not at the moment.
Okay. All right. Well, guys, we're gonna swing on over to the West Coast of the United States now, because one of the, you know, I don't know if you can call hypocrisy particularly a crime, You can definitely call a crime, something a crime that occurred on the campus of the University of California at Berkeley on the late last month. All right, and give this a listen. This is going to be about 4.5 minutes long, and see if the smell of hypocrisy doesn't come out of this when you're finished. This is the English Defense League radio show.
Anti-Israel protester shut down event hosted by Jewish students at UC Berkeley, break glass doors. By Alana Mastrangelo on February 27, 2024. Jewish students at University of California, Berkeley, UC Berkeley, were forced to leave campus after a mob of pro-Palestinian, anti-Israel protesters shut down their speaking event featuring Israeli Defense Forces, IDF, soldier Ran Bar Yoshafat. A speaking event, titled Israel at War, Combat the Lies, at Zellerbach Playhouse on the UC Berkeley campus was shut down Monday night after a mob of protesters stormed the area chanting, Long live the Intifada, and breaking glass on the doors of the building in which the event was set to be held. Additional footage posted to social media revealed that some of the anti-Israel protesters had entered the venue before the event could start. You guys fucking leave, a protester clad in a cafe can be heard saying to a student, who replied, No, this is a private event, you are not welcome here. This is a private event, the student continued. You should leave. Stop terrorizing Jewish students. You are the common day Nazi. You're a Nazi, leave. My grandparents were Holocaust survivors. Stop harassing us. Leave. Other video footage shows protesters banging on the glass doors outside the building. The anti-Israel protesters were seen holding signs that read, Students Against Zionism. Stop the genocide, and long live the Intifada. Protesters were also seen breaking the glass on the doors, and then appearing to try to run off, seemingly wanting to avoid responsibility for the destroyed property. You got what you deserve, one protester yelled. The pro-Palestinian protesters then began chanting, Long live the Intifada. Another protester was heard shouting something about people's ancestors and bloodshed, adding, Your arrogance and your shame you will tell your grandchildren you did nothing about. Bar Yoshafat told Daily Wire, I don't think this about the IDF, Jews or even Israel. This is them lacking Western values like freedom of speech. For them, I am guilty until proven innocent. The IDF soldier added that the location of the event had been moved several times due to security concerns, and that he had been asked to arrive on campus wearing a hat in order to conceal his identity. Bar Yoshafat went on to say that he saw about 40 student protesters upon entering the room in which his speaking event was supposed to be held, and that there were hundreds more outside the building. I just felt really bad for these kids because they were scared, he said. Girls were crying from being attacked and I think the kid that was spat on was just so shocked. I don't think the students anticipated so many people being violent, they thought they would just chant outside. Bar Yoshafat also claimed that UC Berkeley allowing the event to be shut down was the school basically saying that those banging on doors and spitting on Jews are allowed to continue, but I had to leave even though I was just peacefully speaking. Instead of giving more security to us, they gave a prize to those who were violent, he said. Bar Yoshafat added that he and the event attendees had to find a secret location off campus in order for the speaking engagement to proceed. Berkeley is on the wrong side of history, and it's not a safe place for Jews anymore, Bar Yoshafat asserted. UC Berkeley's Hillel chapter released a statement, saying, We are saddened and horrified that an event with Israeli speaker, Ran Bar Yoshafat, was shut down by protesters. Breaking windows, intimidating students, and inciting a mob are never acceptable and have no place in civil discourse, the student group continued. We are proud of the students who organized the event and remained steadfast in the face of bullying and intimidation of Jewish and Israeli students, they added. Berkeley Hillel remains committed every day to supporting Jewish students' ability to fully express their Jewish identity without fear. In 1964, Berkeley was the home of the free speech movement, which held that any political speech should be tolerated on campus. The movement inspired a generation of activists in the 1960s, who in turn inspired many activists today. Ironically, many of those activists now oppose free speech. You can follow Alana Mastrangelo on Facebook and X/Twitter at @rmastrangelo, and on Instagram.
There you go. Welcome back to the English Defense League Radio Show with your host, Jeff Danger Man Mitchell. Jeff, your views?
Well, it just sums it up, one word. The latter, a few words. The latter-day Nazis, the true Nazis, were used saying things sort of like what they were chanting and being so disruptive and causing fear. That is fear and intimidation. And it's how the Nazis used to act that in the 30s. It's exactly what they're doing. It's recreating an old history thing that we've seen before in our times. A lot of us weren't alive at the time, but we remember that time very much so because of what happened. You know, the shops being smashed, you know, Jews being carted away. And we know what happened there. And we got so many Holocaust deniers. Anyone who's a Holocaust denier should be put in prison. This is it. They are total evil. And that's what Nazis are. Pure, utter evil. Because that's who they were. The latter-day Nazis. Sad times, Dave. Sad times. Back to you.
Yes, they are sad times, Jeff. And really, if you look at it from a from an American perspective, so I can remember when the late 1960s, and yes, Berkeley was the center of the free speech movement. Right? This was supposed to be a place. Again, it began in 1964. They said, all right, yeah, we want to allow all political speech on this campus. All right, much like Speaker's Corner in London. All right, but now, as it's turned around and as Sharia compliance has come more and more into effect from the lefties, because Berkeley was a huge lefty campus and has remained so. Now suddenly, if you don't happen to be on the left, if you don't happen to walk in lockstep with everything that the left and their Islamic death cult allies want, no. See, you don't get to speak freely. And it's the same, by the way, at Speaker's Corner in London. No one can go to Speaker's Corner and just talk about the problems in the UK with the Muslims. They get mobbed. And the fact that in both places, the governments allow this to happen is tacit approval of the terror that these people are imposing upon others who want the same ability to speak freely, but they're being denied it, and they're being denied it by globalist a-holes and hypocrites. And that was what struck me when I saw that story, Jeff, was, Berkeley, you know, the center of the universe for free speech, not anymore.
Well, that candle,
so there you go.
That candle in the wind that used to burn so bright, sadly, has been blown out. And I would say that depicts a whole lot of things across the United States, where we used to look towards the United States. Not many of us always have. They look at that beacon of light. Sadly, because of what we've seen, the world turned upside down, is a sad time. You know, freedom of speech, freedom of, expression, has died. Because, as we said, good is bad and bad is good now in this world we live. And that is, well, we knew it was going to come. Any of us who know prophecies will know these days are meant to unfold exactly like we're seeing. So all I'm saying is prophetic. So with that, Dave, would you agree with that? It's prophetic, Dave?
Yeah, I would, Jeff. I would agree with that. And, we turn from that now back to the UK. And I've got two stories here, Jeff. Listeners, we're going to run two stories. The first one is going to be basically the crime, and the second one is going to be about a response to supposed response to that crime. So let me go ahead and play the first one, and it is about 5 minutes long. But before I do that, Jeff, is there anything out of the chat? Just want to make sure to give Biggie a chance if he wants to. All right. Okay, we're going to go ahead and play this then. 5 minutes long, just a little over that. You're listening to the English Defense League radio show.
Death threats allegedly made against populist reform UK candidate in multicultural Rochdale by Kurt Sindelka on February 27, 2024. The Nigel Farage-founded Reform UK party has published footage purporting to show death threats against its candidate in the Rochdale by-election as British politics continues to be consumed by debate over the threat of Islamic extremism. On Monday evening, Reform UK revealed apparent death threats against Simon Dantsuk, a former Labour MP who is now standing for Reform UK in Thursday's by-election, special election, to select the next Member of Parliament for the multicultural Northern English town of Rochdale. In one video, a man holding a Reform UK election leaflet is heard calling Dantsuk a bald, white, devil, bastard. Responding to the leaflet, which urged voters to vote for Rochdale, not Gaza, the man goes on to call the candidate a son of a bitch. The man is then heard making an apparent death threat, saying that he is going to put one on his head in reference to Dantsuk. Another post appeared to show a message received by the Reform UK Facebook page in which someone said to Dantsuk, "I am going to assault you when I see you and I care not of the consequences." Honorary President of the party, Nigel Farage, said that he was horrified by the video, saying, "Never in my life have I seen anything like this. This is the greatest threat to our democracy ever." Writing to Greater Manchester Police Chief Constable Stephen Watson, Reform UK party leader Richard Tice called the threats absolutely outrageous and unacceptable. Tice called on the police force to take the threats seriously and provide a proper level of security to allow the campaign to take place in an orderly manner, including by providing security to Dantsuk and his team. The apparent death threats in the Rochdale race come as the politics of the Middle East have taken center stage in British politics, with the Conservatives suspending former Deputy Chairman Lee Anderson over supposedly Islamophobic comments and the Labour Party suspending multiple parliamentary candidates, including its candidate for the Rochdale race, Azhar Ali, after he accused Israel of intentionally allowing the Hamas terror attacks on October 7. Immediately following the October 7 attacks, even before Israel responded militarily in Gaza, thousands of pro-Palestinian protesters took to the streets of Britain, including some spouting genocidal rhetoric against the Jewish state. The soft policing of the protests, in comparison to lockdown protests or other right-wing protests, has led to suggestions from Home Secretary Suella Braverman and others that Islamists have effectively taken over the country through intimidation. This assertion was amplified last week when the normal order of Parliament was thrown aside by House Speaker Sir Lindsay Hoyle, who broke with protocol to allow Labour Party amendments to a motion from the Scottish National Party calling for a ceasefire in Gaza out of concern, he said, over potential terror attacks on MPs. The chaotic scenes inside the Parliament were accompanied by hundreds of anti-Israel protesters outside the building, including some who projected the genocidal Palestinian from the river to the sea battle cry onto Big Ben as police stood by. The chaotic events were followed by Conservative MP Lee Anderson being suspended from the party over claiming that London Mayor Sadiq Khan and Labour Party leader Sir Keir Starmer were under the control of Islamists.
Yep.
Sensing blood in the water, the Labour Party and the Legacy immediately attempted to shift the conversation around anti-Semitism within the Labour Party and at protests on the streets of Britain to branding the Conservatives as having a problem with so-called Islamophobia. Shadow Equalities Minister for the Labour Party, Annalise Dodds, led the accusations of Islamophobia and has called on the government to adopt a formal definition of Islamophobia into law. Her counterpart in government, Kemi Badenoch, warned that this would lead to the formation of a blasphemy law via the back door if instituted into law. In this country, we have a proud tradition of religious freedom and the freedom to criticize religion, Badenoch said on social media. Meanwhile, Anna Firth, the Conservative MP for Southend West who replaced Sir David Amos, who was killed in broad daylight by a radical Islamist, urged her party to not bend to accusations of Islamophobia but rather openly confront the threat of radical Islam in Britain. we seem afraid. Afraid to be seen as racist or Islamophobic. Even when we simply seek to save lives by speaking the truth, she wrote in the Telegraph. I was always taught to stand up to bullies, not to give in. And never, ever to let myself be intimidated. It's hard, though, when the threat is real and nobody wants to admit where it's coming from. If you can't name it, you can't protect yourself from it. Follow Kurt Sindulka on X, follow a Kurt Sindulka or email to sindulka@breitbart.com.
There you go. Welcome back to the English Defense League Radio Show. The host, Jeff Danger Man Mitchell. Jeff, what do you think about the first bit of this?
Well, I think that it seems that they've created this issue they've got. I mean, you know, shouting out about Islamophobia, but I mean, for goodness sake, it's extremist Muslims. It's Islam. It's Islamic extremists. You're not seeing that. You're not seeing anybody on the right doing these things, but it's always thrown back at people like ourselves who believe in, you know, doing the right things, saying the right things, but you get blamed for it. You get called an Islamophobe. Call me what you like. I don't care. And nor does Dave, because we love the truth. And we know you, politician, you stirred this hornet's nest. You've created these problems. Then you're just trying to throw it back in different directions. You're in your own quagmire. Deal with it. We told you what was going to happen, and you ignored us. You're going to reap what you sow. And we will stand. We will defend our country when we got to, but we won't defend you lot. You create this problem for our societies, for the whole of the public. Get on with it. Drown in your own stew. Back to you, Dave.
Well, that's a good one, Jeff. Yeah, and I couldn't agree more. Really, I couldn't. But the one candidate for MP does have a point. And this is happening here in the States as well. People don't dare get up and speak about what the real problem is. Very few people do it. And of course, when they do, they're called a thisist and a thatist and a thisophobe and a thatophobe and that kind of thing. Very few people have the courage to both run for office and put the blame for these problems where they belong. Not only on the death cult of Islam, but also, and to an extent more so, on the people that allow it to flourish in Western nations. Right? So that is the situation that we find ourselves in. And when you're out there voting this year, the stance on a candidate's stance on what they think about the threat of Islam, and even if they're willing to admit that there's a threat on Islam, should be something that is very important to consider. Now, I'm going to go ahead and play this next bit, Jeff, but before I do, is there anything out of the chat, bud?
Not that I haven't, Doug.
All righty. I'm going to play this next bit. This is the... I won't say this is the end of this story, but this happened on the 27th of last month, and it's about 3.25 minutes, so give this a listen. You're listening to the English Defense League Radio Show.
Arrest made over threats made to reform UK candidate for Thursday special election by Oliver J.J. Lane on February 27th, 2024. Greater Manchester police said they had arrested a man after what has been called alleged death threats against a political candidate standing in this week's by-election for Nigel Farage's Reform UK party. A 23-year-old man was arrested by Manchester police on Monday evening, the force said, shortly after they received a formal complaint. Alleged threats, including an apparent death threat, had been made against election candidate Simon Dan-Suk, who is due to face the voters on Thursday to select Rochdale's next Member of Parliament. Dan-Suk, a former high-profile Labour Party politician who was MP for the Rochdale seat from 2010 to 2017 and who left the party over a sexting scandal, is now standing for the Reform UK Party, better known as the Brexit Party. Tapping into the political zeitgeist and big issues now dominating the UK media landscape, Dan-Suk has attempted to differentiate himself from other candidates standing by promising to govern for Rochdale, no Gaza. As reported, Reform leaders including Nigel Farage revealed the apparent death threat against Dan Suk, which came in a social media video where a male voice is heard over visuals of a Dan Suk campaigning leaflet. The voice calls a politician a white devil, a son of a bitch, before threatening to put one in his head, which was interpreted by some as a death threat. In another case, a message received by the party allegedly said, "I am going to assault you when I see you and I care not of the consequences." Honorary Party President Nigel Farage said, "Never in my life have I seen anything like this. This is the greatest threat to our democracy ever." And party leader Richard Tice called the comments absolutely outrageous and unacceptable. The Manchester Evening News reports a man was arrested over an alleged online threat OPN Monday evening. They said the suspect is 23 years old and remains in custody for questioning, and that local police had stepped up patrols ahead of the election. A spokesman told the paper, "We understand incidents like this can be concerning, but the victim and the public should be reassured that we've made an arrest. In anticipation of the by-election, we had already put increased patrols in place. Violence against politicians is a major concern in the UK presently, with two members of parliament having been murdered in the past decade and threats of further violence against members being cited as the reason behind the convention-busting decision to change vote procedure in parliament last week." House Speaker Lindsay Hoyle said he acted unconventionally because he feared a terrorist attack on Parliament or its members. He said, "I never ever want to go through a situation where I pick up a phone to find a friend of whatever side has been murdered by a terrorist. I also don't want another attack on this house. I was in the chair on that day. I have seen, I have witnessed, I won't share the details, but the details of the things that have been brought to me are absolutely frightening on all members of this house on all sides. I have a duty of care."
Yeah. We can see how you're caring. Welcome back to the English Fencing Radio Show with the host, Jeff Danger Man Mitchell. Jeff, your views, bud.
Well, you knew that the rebuttal was going to come in the second part. It's no different than I thought it would be. Of course, police to say they've got someone, but when we it'd be released soon. Pending his feelings or something rather, because obviously justice played out, are we? If it was someone like me or you, Dave, or someone like Tommy Robinson, they'd throw the keys away. But not these people, you know. It's different. It's two ways that they deal with things. But we don't go threatening people's lives. It's what we don't do. But they tend to, and they tend to get away with it. Yeah, they had to do that. They had to arrest someone. You know, they had to. There's no people, but no, I mean, it's just around and around we go. Where it goes, we don't know. So there you go, Dave, once again. So, yeah, a bit of a yawn about it, because we know the way things turn out. And as someone said, one of the politicians, it seems like... That we're governed really, or the Islamic presence is well pronounced and is controlling what's going on in our country. We've been talking about for years, Sharia compliant is what most of the police are, and a lot of the politicians are controlled by Sharia compliance as well. Sadly, it's in the faces now. Get over it. Back to you, Dave.
Yeah, you're right, Jeff. You're right. I couldn't agree more, man. And yeah, I thought it was going to be kind of a joke. It, very likely the guy that they had in for questioning got out very soon. And of course, they don't even identify him or give any of his background. So we don't have any idea who it was. And it could have been just some poor schmuck they pulled up off the street. Get him in the station for a few hours, sit him down, give him some tea or something like that, and then release him just so they can go to the papers.
And it's a very naughty boy.
We made an arrest. We're on top of it. Yeah, exactly.
And they probably said to him, "We need to say that you're a very, very naughty boy. Don't do it in future. Now, on your way."
Yep. Yeah, no, it was very likely.
You're a very naughty boy.
Yeah, Very likely, Jeff, it was something exactly like that. Now, before we move on, we're going to move into something that, well, you know, I think you're going to like the presenter, Jeff, but I don't, you know, neither of us like the like what he's talking about. But before we get into that, is there anything out of chat, bud?
Not the moment, Dave.
All right. Well, as listeners in the UK know, you guys have a terrible problem with your own border. And we have a similar problem with our border here in the United States, and it's just getting worse with the Biden cartel in charge. And there's a certain someone who had something to say about that, and you can hear that now. This is from the last day in February this leap year, the 29th. All right, this is going to be about 2 minutes and 45 or so seconds. You're listening to the English Defense League radio show.
Exclusive. Trump campaign releases video highlighting illegal alien crimes ahead of border visit. By Matthew Boyle on February 29, 2024. Former President Donald Trump's presidential campaign released a new video on Thursday morning highlighting the surge in crimes, particularly murders being committed by illegal aliens ahead of Trump's visit later in the day to the U.S. border with Mexico. The video, provided by the Trump campaign exclusively to Breitbart News ahead of its public release, intersperses clips of Trump from his famous 2015 presidential campaign launch speech, where he talked about how Mexico and other countries were not sending their best to the United States, with clips of news coverage of illegal alien crimes.
When Mexico sends its people, they're not sending their best. It's coming from more than Mexico. They're bringing drugs.
Traffickers are busier than ever. Hundreds of pounds of meth and cocaine hidden inside rocks being transported across the border.
300 pounds of narcotics received.
$400,000 worth of liquid meth.
The amount of fentanyl seized so far is enough to kill over 30 million people.
Where is it being produced?
The U.S.-Mexico border.
They're bringing crime.
Blake and Riley, her accused killer, came to the U.S. illegally from Venezuela.
An illegal immigrant who killed 19-year-old Adrian Sophia Exum.
The illegal immigrant who killed five people, including a 9-year-old child.
The man police believe killed 16-year-old cheerleader Lisbeth Medina, Rafael Gouveia Romero, who they say is undocumented,
is in the country illegally when he murdered that officer.
An illegal immigrant now accused of killing a mother and son while driving drunk.
They're rapists.
An undocumented immigrant convicted of rape who illegally tried to re-enter the country.
A pair of migrants has been arrested in a suburban Buffalo area accused of sex crimes.
An 18-year-old illegal immigrant on a rape charge in Hicksville, Ohio, and authorities say was in the U.S. illegally, is now being held without bond after being charged with rape in Fresno.
We had the safest border ever, and now we have the worst border ever, and I mean anywhere. There's never been a border like this ever in the world.
Trump is set to visit the U.S. border on Thursday, and Democrat President Joe Biden is also set to visit the border on Thursday. The dueling border visits by the two leading 2024 presidential candidates frame up immigration and national security as the leading issue of the 2024 election, with both candidates heading there on the same day as each has essentially become their party's presumptive nominees.
And there you go. Welcome back to the English Defense League Radio Show with your host, Jeff Danger Man Mitchell. Jeff, what do you think of that?
Well, I don't know why Biden wants to go. He's not done anything since he's been in office. And what's he gonna say when he gets to the border? Talk a load of old rubbish like he does? Wander off somewhere, trying to do his shoelaces up or something like that, and keep watching him because he keeps wandering off? Nah, it's a waste of space. At least Donald Trump knows the situation. And Biden's just trying to... I don't know what they're trying to do. You know, he's not got a clue. Yeah, otherwise, if he had a clue, the situation wouldn't be like it is, would it? Just open border. Let them come. You know what I mean? That is them. Donald Trump has got a different way that he goes about things. And you know, if he gets into power, things will start rolling. And I think the American people should really think that this is the right man for the time. Because we're living in war times as well. So you've got to remember, Donald Trump knows how to make things happen. So, in the end, it's down to our great Americas and hopefully the crime of stealing the election. There'd be a lot of people overseeing exactly what's going on. So the free world need a strong leader in the United States. With that, Dave, back to you, brother.
All right, well, thank you, Jeff. Yeah, and this being my country, yeah, we do need a strong leader. I think I can answer why Biden went down to the border. Probably as even loyal Democrats here, and I'm not talking about their masters, I'm talking about the rank and file of Democrats that voted for Biden this last time, are concerned about what's going on with the border and all these illegal aliens, just gushing into the United States like a sewer main broke or something like that.
Yeah.
They're concerned about it, and that may make them stay home. So probably what happened was the Biden cartel said, okay, let's bundle the old guy up and send him down to the border for a visit, and jack him up with all these, anti-senility drugs that we've been injecting him with all along. And, he'll say some stuff and we'll try and keep him from, just as Jeff says, wandering off or something like that. And it'll be a big photo op, and that will reassure some of our more clueless, adherents, and maybe they won't think too much about the issue by November. But I can tell you that there are going to be people thinking about that issue by November. So, I'm really hoping for an honest election. I don't think there will be one, but I'm hoping for it.
Yeah.
So we will go ahead, Jeff. I know you want to talk about this some more. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was just saying the only reason why Biden's there, he's probably trying to score a bit of coke for his son. That's all he's going down there, but score a bit of coke, get it at the block value or whatever. Let's call it what it is. He's got a dump for a son. I'm sure he's running a bit low on his drug. Dad, you're going down there, see if you can score me some coke. There you go, back to you, Dave.
Okay, I think I see what you mean, Jeff. Every world leader, certainly leaders of Western countries that have nuclear weapons, they have a big briefcase that is carried along with them wherever they are. They call it, Americans call it the football, and basically what it is the control nexus for the nuclear weapons. Well, probably what they did, if Jeff is right, probably what they did, they probably traded that for a big empty briefcase, and Joe hopped across the border and scored a couple of pounds of a blow for his son. Yeah, so there you go. Yes. So there you are, guys. For our UK listeners, guys, I knew, and some other forward-looking Americans knew a long time ago, that the same problems you guys have were going to be the problems that we were going to have, and now it's in our face. So with that, Jeff, do you have anything more to say, or is there anything out of the chat before we move on, bud?
There's nothing out of the chat, and really, I'm a bit, once again, a little bit chesty tonight, Dave, so I'm sorry about that. Just a... Unfortunately, it's a bit damp, the weather. Sorry about this, ladies and gentlemen, but sometimes it makes me a bit wheezy, this weather. I'm hoping that when spring comes, that it'll be much better for me. So I need to let you know that anyway. Back to you, brother.
Jeff, no need to apologize, man. You're here doing the thing as I am, and we're doing it because this is what we can do, because we think it's important to give people the truth and to talk about the crimes that are being perpetrated on people by the globalists and by the death cult of Islam. And with that, I'm going to play one now. This one is just under 2 minutes, and it's pretty nasty. Give this a listen, guys.
You're listening to the English Defense League radio show.
Islamist militants slaughter 15 Christians in Burkina Faso church attack. By Thomas D. Williams, Ph.D. on February 26, 2024. Rome, armed jihadists slaughtered at least 15 Christians during Sunday morning worship in a Burkina Faso village church, Vatican News reported. The Vatican describes the violence as a terrorist attack that left 12 of the Catholic faithful dead at the scene, while three others died later from their wounds. Two more are in the hospital being treated for their injuries. The assault took place in Essekane village in the country's northeastern Adalan province and was the latest in a long string of atrocities committed by Islamist terrorist groups linked to the so-called Islamic State and Al-Qaeda, the Vatican said. Jihadist terrorism in the vast Sahel region, which also includes Mali and Niger, has increased by over 2,000% in the last 16 years, the report added. In a 2023 interview, Bishop Burl Fuawar, chairman of the Joint Bishops' Conference of Burkina Faso and Niger, said that half of the territory is controlled by jihadist groups that want to impose Islam on the whole country. The terrorists want to eradicate this society and all who do not profess the same brand of Islam, including Muslims, which means that the terrorism is now aimed at society as a whole, the bishop said. The consequences of this wave of terrorism over the past 7 years have been terrible, he added. From a pastoral point of view, we can no longer move around as we did before. Our scope of action is much smaller, because the terrorists occupy two-thirds of the territory of the Sahel, he said. Thomas D. Williams is Breitbart Rome Bureau Chief and author of The Coming Christian Persecution.
Awful. Welcome back to the English Defense League Radio Show. The host, Jeff Danger Man Mitchell. Jeff?
Well, the thing that goes from mind as soon as I hear how many Christians have been slaughtered by the cultists of death is how prophetic it is. It says in the latter times there'll be many, many, many martyrs. And I think this is what we've been seeing for a little time now. I say that these are evil people that do. They hate Christians. They hate anybody that's not a Muslim. Either if you buy what we say, are we going to kill you? In the case of this lot, they want to kill people. There's no ifs, buts, they're going to do it. Unfortunately, these are the times what we've often talked about. And it is it's sad, it's tragic. But sadly, it's as it was written. It's what we're seeing unfolding every day. And it's heartbreaking for anybody. I mean, and for the families of lost loved ones, for going and praying at a church. It is absolutely horrific. As you said, it was a horrible day. But with that, not a lot more I want to say, because we've covered about these things for so many years. It doesn't get any better, does it, bro? In fact, it will deteriorate. And sadly, as that shows. Back to you, Dave.
Yeah, Jeff, you're right, and it hurts every time we hear about these things because, as you said, Jeff, it's not just the people that are attacked and killed and raped and kidnapped and tortured and all this other stuff. It's all the people around them that worry about them and love them and wish this never happened. And worse, it's about the fact that there are government officials that could stop this kind of thing if they wanted to, but they don't want to, so they don't stop it. And the thing that strikes me is that even with all of that, these people in Africa are still going to their churches and praying. And to me, that shows the depth of their faith. And I say, God bless them and love them, because they love God, and they don't just talk the talk. As you say, they actually walk the walk, and they want to walk with the Lord, and they're going out and doing it despite the threat of death or even worse. And
you see, it's just as God for me. As you say, I just want to say that no matter how bad things are for these people, they know whatever happens to them, that the Lord is watching over them. They know there's a special place that these people are doing it. There's no special place for them. They'll go to hell. But these people who love the Lord, and, you know, basically, it's very difficult to fight back when you've got a prayer book in your hand and you're praying to the Lord. You know, that's it. And I'm sorry if I stole anything away from you, Dave. It's just what's going through my mind, and I had to say it because it was just going through my head. But you know, may they all rest in peace and be with the Lord, because that's all they were doing. They love the Lord so much, they will give up their lives for the Lord. So we just got to think of them, and as I say, their families and everybody that knew them. These were good people who loved the Lord. With that, Dave, back to you, brother. No, I'm sorry about that.
Man, don't apologize, because that, you know, you just say what I would have said. And, you know, that, I'll just say this. I respect anyone that that goes on with their faith and tries to live their lives like Jesus led his, okay? And I have enormous respect for these Christians in Africa, because they are under threat like no one else is at this point. Christians in some of the Pacific countries and Asia and places like that, but it is quite a horror going on in Africa, and we can't forget it, and we won't.
No,
on
we
this
won't.
Show. Jeff won't, and I won't either. Okay.
No.
If something happens to one of us, the other is just going to keep on, and we're not going to forget this stuff. Now, guys,
exactly.
Jeff, is there anything out of the chat before we move on to the next one, buddy?
No, not the moment, but I just want to say, finalize what I was trying to get to is, no matter what these cultists of death do to these people, even if they drive these people underground, that their churches are too dangerous, that is where they'll go. Because that's how it was in the old times. Before the churches, they used to go to secret dwellings. And if it goes like that, we'll still be more of us than you. No matter what you do and how many people try to kill, there will always be more than you evil ones out there. So that's the way I look at it. And as you say, a lot of them get driven underground, though, because it's too dangerous. They've got to think of their families as well. But these are brave people that have basically martyred for their faith. And the Lord appreciates what they do. He knows how much he loves them and how much they love him. And that's all you can hope for, Dave, in these actually tragic times that we live. With that, brother, back to you.
All right, Jeff. Now, we're going from that crime to what is possibly the largest crime ever in recorded history? And that is the deliberate distribution of medications that are killing people. Now, there's been a small admission, and it's a very small admission, by the way, and it's not totally the truth. But I find it interesting that this study came out, and they're talking about this study now. And, you know, if you want to talk about tip of the iceberg, I would say this is it. Now, this comes from an organization, you know, from a bunch of people called WION World DNA on YouTube. And they may be kind of hard to understand a little bit, but give this a listen. The study did come out that is interesting, if nothing else. But again, it's just the tip of the iceberg. You're listening to the English Defense League radio show.
A latest COVID-19 study is providing answers to one of the questions often repeated since the vaccines were introduced. How have the vaccines been affecting our health?
Now, the largest vaccine study to date, it has identified some risks which are associated with them. And our next report brings you all the details. Take a look.
New Zealand's Global Vaccine Data Network analyzed data from 99 million people who received COVID-19 vaccines across 8 countries. Their findings show the vaccines are responsible for a slight increase in neurological, blood and heart-related disorders. The research says 3 doses of Pfizer, BioNTech and Moderna's mRNA vaccines could trigger myocarditis, a rare condition of heart inflammation. A 3rd dose of AstraZeneca vaccine increased the risk of another heart condition, pericarditis, 6.9-fold. The 1st and 4th dose of Moderna increased the risk 1.7-fold and 2.6-fold, respectively. Those who took the AstraZeneca shots had a greater risk of developing a rare neurological disorder, Guillain-Barr syndrome. They also had a 3.2 times increased risk of getting blood clots. The Moderna vaccine increased the risk 3.8 times of the neurological disorder, acute disseminated encephalomyelitis. For AstraZeneca's vaccine users, there was a 2.2-fold increased risk of the disorder. The study also warned of several other disorders that need further investigation. However, it emphasized that the risk of developing any of the mentioned conditions are very small. The research notes that out of 13 billion doses administered, there have been only 2,000 such cases. The study also highlights that the benefits of the vaccines far outweigh the risks. Bureau Report, Vion, World is One.
All right. Welcome back to the English Defense League Radio Show. I'm your host, Jeff Danger, Matt Mitchell. Jeff, your views. And to the caller in studio, we do not have much time left on this show, so you may want to call back next week or the week after, okay? But Jeff, go ahead with your views, bud.
Well, as we know, it just makes you wonder now if this was all manufactured. You know, that virus that got out there, whatever, manufactured. It's another form of genocide. Look, that is where you talk about a true genocide. What the governments have been trying to do to the people. People like myself, people like you, Dave, and many of us saw through it. And with my health conditions, I'd have been dead quite a number of years ago now if I'd have had anything like they want to give me. It weren't going to happen. And it goes for my family. Well, my sons, anyway. We all feel the same. No way. No way you're putting stuff in you which you don't know what you're putting in me. You can't even, when you ask them the question, they don't know, Dave. Well, I don't know. It's just, it'll help you. Really? Will it cure you? No, but it might help you. Well, help you to quit and be dieted? You know, that's the only thing. But it does make you think now, Dave, after this time now. It's like there was a genocide. Well, there still is a genocide because people are still dying. I had to get my brother and sister-in-law. Both of them had blood clots. And my sister's in a bad way with her heart and all that. God knows why they had it. I really don't get it, Dave. I never will. With that, Dave, back to you, brother.
Well, yeah, I agree, Jeff. And I don't trust the numbers in this study. I get the feeling that this study was only put out to quell the rising number of people who are realizing that these jabs or these biomods, which is what I've been calling them all along because that's what they are, are actually doing harm to people and not helping them and giving them things like myocarditis and blood clots and brain problems and things of that nature. All right, okay, you have relatives that have had problems with this. All right, my own brother died both of blood clots and of cancer because of this. Our good friend Ken McClinton's father had blood clots. Almost everyone that you speak to, if you talk to them long enough, well, I won't say almost everyone, but a large number of people will say, oh, yeah, my, you know, sister, brother, father, whatever, is having blood clots now or they're having heart issues or something of that nature. Okay. So I don't trust these numbers. And now, was the disease manufactured? I think pretty much the common consensus is that, yes, it was. All right. And what's even worse is that they had this quote-unquote vaccine ready far too fast. And I don't think that it goes too far into tinfoil hat land to imagine that some of the same people had a hand in both the production of this quote-unquote Wuhan virus and the vaccines themselves. Now, even if that didn't happen, though, all right, I don't believe their numbers. These biomods, these jabs that they keep trying to push on people are dangerous, and Jeff recommends that people not get them, and so do I. Don't get them, guys, because they're trying to perpetrate a crime of massive depopulation on people. This is going to affect millions. It already has.
And that is genocide, Dave. Would I say, is that, would you say, the correct term for what they're trying to do to the people? A global genocide? Is that what we're seeing, Dave?
All right. What I was saying, Jeff, was, yes, this is looking a lot like a global genocide, a mass depopulation, and that is the worst crime of all. That's at no time in recorded history has there ever been such a large single effort put out to get rid of as many people. And that can be put right at the feet of the globalists. And I do have one more, Jeff. This one here is out of Germany. Okay. And is there anything out of the chat, bud, before I start?
I don't think so. Let's have a look. No, it's I think he's enjoying the show. He always does. Back to you, mate.
All right. Okay. Now, guys, this one's out of Germany, and it talk about the enemy that has been brought within. Let's give this a listen. It's 3 minutes. This is the English Defense League radio show.
My Grandifa. German newspaper notes emergence of new hard left street group by Oliver J.J. Lane on February 20, 2024. The violent hard left Antifa are already well known, but a splinter group in Germany with a laser focus on race has taken to the streets, and it is bent on revolution towards a classless society, reports a top newspaper. Migrantifa, of course a portmanteau neologism of migrant and anti-fascist action, protested in Berlin on Friday night, a demonstration that devolved into scuffles and arrests after police attempted to shut down banned anti-Semitic chants. Establishment German newspaper Die Welt gives a rundown on the group, which has bubbled under the surface for a few years but now gains new prominence. The report noted the Monday night rally, called on the anniversary of a terror attack against a shisha bar in Germany that killed 9, attracted 3,500 protesters. Migrantifa themselves claimed over 10,000 attended, and that chants were led and speeches were given, describing the extremist worldview held by the Migrantifa group as expressed through the words of its speakers. Welt said the group seamlessly blended anger over Gaza with conspiracy theories about German racism against migrants, seeing no political party as representing migrant interests. Deadly racism is present in the full spectrum, from the right populist anti-mass migration alternative for Germany, to the enviro-socialist Greens, said one speaker, who told attendees that at best the political system offered a vote every 4 years. Between misery with a rainbow flag and misery with a conservative family image, even the hard left parties now in government has supplied cash to Israel, they lamented. The Migrantifa hardliners also despise diversity and anti-racism work through workshops rhetoric, the very basis of the contemporary multicultural state in Germany as elsewhere, and prefer resistance and revolution towards a classless society, the paper said. Welt is not the only German newspaper to have noted the Migrantifa rally. Die Tage Zeitung also reports on the rhetoric, noting the speeches focusing on popular responses in the country to migrant crime, noting events like the massive New Year's Eve unrest in Berlin and the outrage at the behavior of migrant males towards young women and girls at public swimming pools in recent summers, The protest lashed out at the public's response to what many would call migrant crime, describing it instead as unprecedented agitation against migrants. The IFT, clearly an object of hatred for the migrant IFA activists, responded to the emergence of the group, asking rhetorically whether the members might consider leaving Germany, given they have such a low opinion of it. The party said in their sardonic statement, "If Germany is a racist murderer state, then why don't you pack your things and go to another country? We would very much welcome it and would be happy to show you the way to the airport."
And there you go. Welcome back to the English Fantastic Radio Show with the host, Jeff Danger Man Mitchell. Jeff, your views, bud.
I think that last person who said, if you don't like the country, you hate it so much, then we'll help you pack your bags and move out of the country. And I would agree with that totally. If they hate the country so much, why stay there? What, you think you're going to make changes with revolution? You're not going to. You're just a small minority. That's what's going to happen. It just gets washed away. That's what's going to happen. But if you don't hate it so much, you know, I'm sure there'd be enough people to put you on a plane and send you, I don't know, out in the Iran or something like that, you know. You know, if you're not happy in the country, you've got anybody that's not happy in our country. Don't like it. Pack your bags and go. Cool, jog on, do what? I think that's what we would say, wouldn't we, Dave? I quite agree with that last lady saying that, or whoever it was. Back to you, Dave.
Thank you, Jeff. Yeah, I mean, well, and that brings into focus just the fact that these, again, these globalist politicians thought it was such a great idea to bring these people into Germany, and of course you can say the UK, and you can say the States, you can say any Western country. They thought it was a great idea to bring them in, and they were going to be all multicultural and go on with all the multicultural rhetoric and, you know, the gay pride flags and all that stuff. And what happened? They turned around, and they're ready to bite the very hand that wants to feed them. And, yeah, I agree with the AFP when it comes to this. If they want to bite the hand that feeds them, well, that hand ought to you know, have, you know, encase itself in mail and, you know, help knock them back to the country that they came from if they don't like it in Germany or the States or the UK. Bugger off. That's my feeling.
Jog on, Dave. That's what I say, jog on.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Jeff, I'm about ready to do my finals. So is there anything out of the chat from Biggie or anyone else, or do you have anything to say before we begin to shut it down?
I think all the things I wanted to talk about, I have, but I haven't been totally myself tonight because, you know me, I'd have gone on a rant. But I'm trying to keep it calm because my breathing's not that brilliant. So, you know, it's been a little bit different, but I've enjoyed the show, Dave. Everything I could really bite if I wanted to, couldn't I? You know me. Dave's known me for a long time. He knows something like that will get me going. But I've got to be a bit careful these days, ladies and gentlemen. I'll let Dave have a rant on my behalf. Dave, you're free to rant whenever, brother. Thank you, Dave.
Well, I appreciate that, and Biggie, we both appreciate you being in the chat, bud. Bigfoot's place.blogspot.com is where Biggie's blog is. We're going to say it one more time because it's a good one. All right, and thank you for being here, bud. And just want to say to everyone, again, to our American audience, guys, check the show page next week because the time is going to be a little bit different. Because we can go into daylight saving time on the 10th of this month, and the UK goes into theirs later on. As Jeff said, I think it's around the 31st, but we will see. But we'll keep you guys apprised of what time to listen to the program, and that's going to be put out. The show pages will be put out on, at UBG Contact or at Dave Milner. Or Agador with an underscore after it on places like X, Gab, Getter, and USA Life, places like that. So you'll have that information. You guys already know from the top of the show all of my show times for the Unpleasant Blind Guy because that's who I am. And I just want to say to Jeff. Once again, a great job, my brother. This was a good show. And I just want to say to the foot soldiers and angels and the truth tellers, the truth seekers, and those ready to defend others from all the crimes out there, be prosperous, be blessed, and for goodness sake, no surrender ever. Jeff the Jam is in the studio and throwing peanuts around. They enjoyed the show too. So just give the high sign. And
they're throwing peanuts at you. Don't come near me.
Well, I'm dodging, Jeff. Yeah, you know, I mean, you got so good at dodging, now they're throwing them at me. Yeah, it's real good. Yeah, it's real good. Throw peanuts at the blind guy. Okay, just get ready to play. All right, Jeff, give the word, man.
No, it's my brother.
Good night, Jeff. Good night, Biggie. Good night, Lady. God bless everybody.
Yeah, thanks, boys. We'll see you again next week. Right, now, just got to do a couple of things now. We've got to say is we'll be back again same time. Well, yeah, I think it's about same time next week. I think it'll be about the right, yeah. Yeah, for example, yeah. The time might be a bit earlier for you, I think, probably, if your time goes forward or back, whatever it is. I know you'd be an hour earlier this like Sunday. So... But anyway, it's been a good, well done, Dave, the great clips, the audio, etc., and the slides. Very good show. And thank you, Dave, for all what you do in the background. With that, all I've got to do is say we'll see you again next week, same time, same place. So you take care, stay safe, and God bless you all. And not forgetting... you know, no surrender ever. And then we'll be back next week. So there you go. So I'm just going to say, this is the English Defence League radio show signing off for tonight. myself and Dave, and we'll see you again, same time, next week. Good night, everybody. Au revoir.
Something for our American listeners, which they are the second biggest audience that Jeff has. All right. There's a warrior in our country that needs assistance, and the assistance he needs is big time assistance. I don't think we've never had an appeal like this on Jeff's show, but we're going to do it this time. The gentleman that I'm referring to is Brian Flowers. Now, he ran for Congress in the 2nd Congressional District of Mississippi to one of us. He's one of the people, and he's not with this World Economic Forum crowd or any of these other creeps. But Brian, and Brian, by the way, has three girls from the teens on down to about maybe 8 years old, and a wife, and a regular job. He is a true warrior who was willing to go into the snake pit of Washington, D.C. and do battle for us. And he is still willing to do that, but at this point, he needs help. Brian is suffering from a rare genetic disease called PKD. Now, this is what's known as an orphan disease. In other words, it's one of those diseases that the pharmaceutical companies don't think that it's profitable enough to try and find cures for and things. Basically, his kidneys are now about the size of an American football. And for you guys in the UK, that's about two-thirds the size of one of your footballs. His kidney function is down below the 20% mark, and he needs a kidney transplant. Now, I know a lot of you guys are going to, clutch the pearls and things over that, but for somebody here in the United States who wants to help out a warrior, there is an opportunity to do that. There are two things you can do to find information on this. And now, if you want to find out Brian's whole story about this, basically, go to the TECN.TV Rumble page, and you're going to see a program in there. Now, remember, you can get to the TECN.TV Rumble page off of the link that is in our show page. Okay, the show you want to look for that will give you all the information is TECN.TV, A Patriot Needs a Hero, Brian Flowers, PKDO, and A Need for a Kidney. That's where you'll go if you want to get the entire story. It's going to tell you everything you need to know about the orphan disease PKD. And you'll also get other information about how this is affecting a warrior in the United States. Now, if you want to call directly and find out how you can donate a kidney or just find out information about it, you can go to, and I promise you guys, this link is shorter. So https://ummc.donorscreen.org/register/now. And you can also make a phone call to find out about this information. Area code 601-984-5065. That's area code 601-984-5065. And you'll get some options in there. And the option you want is the live donor option. This is a man who was willing and is still willing to fight for you and fight for our freedoms and liberties. And it's a big ask. It's a huge ask. But, hey, there it is if you want to help. You guys can help monetarily by going to Brian Flowers' GoFundMe page. And the link to that is https://gofund.me/2D7E8849. And the name of the page is Expenses Due to a Kidney transplant. And this is just to help Brian's family out with the expenses that they are going to incur while Brian is going to be under constant kidney dialysis. So this is very important. And if you want to help, whatever you can do, you don't have to, you know, give $1,000 or whatever, but whatever you can do to help financially will be very vastly appreciated. Without Jeff's permission, Blog Talk Radio has begun to put advertising after Jeff's programs. He has not authorized this, given permission for it, been paid anything for it, or anything of that nature. So this is our advice to you. Once our program is over, this will be the last thing that you hear. And then maybe about 5, 6, 7 seconds later, they'll blare in their advertising. Whatever the ad is for, if it's a service, don't use it. And if it's a product, don't buy it because Jeff hasn't authorized it.
Yes.
We thank you very much for listening to Jeff's program. And we appreciate it when you listen all the way to the end. But if you hear the commercials, you know Jeff doesn't authorize it.
I just want to let our listeners know that I've never been a one for wanting to make any money on what I do with this program. I've done it because I needed to do it. I'm a patriot. I love my country. And I like doing what I've always done for many, many years now. So I don't need adverts. I don't need to be backed up. I back my own self up. And with Dave and myself and all our people that we get in chat, I don't want no broadcast and no advertising because that's not what I'm all about. You want to hear the truth from myself and Dave. You don't need to hear certain adverts coming on, advertising, isn't it? Because that's not what me and Dave are about. So I just want to give you an heads up, ladies and gentlemen. I didn't tell them they could do it. I just did it. So I just give you an heads up on that. And Dave's already told you what to do.